Hey Pijuju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumbi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chumbi from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM.
Good evening. Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Chumbi. And it's that time of the evening that we look at what do we have today, especially when it comes to economic discussion. It's Friday, the 20th of February, 2026. And we are greeting the police officers and also the teachers. Where are you? Where are you finding yourself? And also, what is on the table, especially related to moving ahead with the country and also tracking down some of the development in the country. And also, what is happening in the continent, in the world? And also, what can you do about it? It's one thing to speak about something, and it's so the other thing also to ask the question to say, how is this conversation related to me? And also, what can I do about it? Is that what we are in conversation with, within our control, or is something that is not, within, our control? And, looking at global affairs, I think, when the U.S. came up with the Board of Peace, I think we have underestimated it. And looking at the records, particularly the development, as its first meeting was yesterday. And when you look at the countries which showed up, it's a shock. And, there's a pledge also of around $7 billion U.S. dollars to rebuild war-torn Gaza. And also to look at the countries that showed up, it stated that it's quite a number. Around 50 countries there have attended the meeting, which is including Britain, Germany, Italy, and Norway and Switzerland. And if you analyze the speech of the inaugural executive chairman, that is Donald Trump, you realize to say, I think this is not only a blow the United Nations, but you see that global power are also realigning. And looking in Africa, who attended, Africa is a bit quiet, but you have Morocco there, you also have Egypt, and you don't know who is next, but there's already a pledge of $7 billion to rebuild Gaza. And the question is also that who destroyed Gaza, and which. And it's quite complicated too, although difficult also to understand. But one thing also, if you have to listen to the speech of Donald Trump, just shortly, you'll be able to realize that he is saying the aim is for peace. The aim is for peace, but peace is also very difficult. And he stated that the aim is for peace, but there's also a point where he's also indicating that, they are also working together with United Nations, but United Nations also need help. And the question is, the question one some may be able to ask is also that, what are some of the changes that, United Nations also come up with? Because, if you can only see, the only countries that did not show up here, you have Russia, you have India, you have China that did not show up. But interestingly, United Arab Emirates are pursuing their own interest, and they are also here. And I was trying to check if Mr. Netanyahu is also here, but Israel is part of, Board of Peace. But one may also ask a question to say, what if Board of Peace is also going to be maybe a strong institution, or is just another way of discrediting United Nations? But let's just listen shortly, particularly from the inaugural chairman of Board of Peace. Before we go to the conversation for today, it's quite very important also to understand that when we are discussing global affairs, before we speak about domestic affairs, it's quite very important also to understand that what is this has to do with, ask yourself a question, what is this conversation has to do with me? When things are happening there, what does this conversation has to do with me? And where are we positioned in terms of Board of Peace? Where are we? And also ask yourself a question also to say, you can just ask a question, a general question to say, why Namibia is not joining Board of Peace? Why are we not joining? Are there advantages of joining Board of Peace? Because if you have 50 countries showing up, some are observers, you have Britain, you have also German there. You have, you must be able to understand that you also have Italy, you have Norway, you have Switzerland. You must be able to understand that, you know, there's a global shift. It's a global shift, especially when it comes to this development. But, you know, it's also something that one may also want to look at to say, are we also finding members of, you know, Board of Peace and also members of BRICS? But you will also be interested to see that some countries are cutting across, but the invitation is extended to everybody, and also to see what will happen moving forward. But just shortly, I have to listen to what the inaugural chair, and remember, every country has to pay 1 billion and only stay there for 3 years. Then we'll see what will happen.
Settled 8 wars, and especially from other countries, the leaders of, as you know, the other countries, because we have a large group of leaders, and the ones that aren't here are watching on Zoom. I hope they enjoy it. And the press, we appreciate it very much, so respectful. You've been so respectful of what we're doing. What we're doing is very simple, peace. It's called the Board of Peace, and it's all about an easy word to say, but a hard word to produce, peace. But we're going to produce it, and we've been doing a really good job, and some of these leaders that are with us have helped me very much during just this first year. We have a first year like probably no other ever in our country, because we settled 8 wars and I think a 9th to come. It's turned out to be a tougher one. I thought that was going to be the easiest one. But with war, you never know what's easy and what's not so easy. But we've had a great relationship, and I've become friendly with so many of the people. And I appreciate you being here. These are great people. These are great leaders. And the people that are watching by closed circuit and open circuit in many cases are so proud of it. They want it to be open. But they become incredible friends of mine. And, you know, we rebuilt our country in my first term. And now we're at a point that the United States has never seen before. We broke 50,000. On the Dow, they said that would take 4 years. We broke 7,000 on the S&P. They said you couldn't do that within 4 years. It would be impossible. And when I came in, they were all saying if you could get to anywhere close to 40, 45,000, it would be amazing achievement over 4 years. Well, we hit 50,000 in the first year, and we hit 7,000, which was actually tougher to do, according to the Wall Street geniuses. We hit 7,000 in the first year. They said it could take 4 or 5 years. They'd be very happy. It would have been a great job. We did it in one. But we're doing a great job. Board of Peace is one of the most important and consequential things I think that I'll be involved in. We've been involved in a lot. Really, I've been involved in a lot with the people up here. We work together on ending wars with their country. Some of the wars were 32 years long, 32, 34, and a 37. That's a long time, and we ended it in about 2 days, each one of those. But we have some other work to do, and we're getting it done. Gaza is very complex. It's been amazing. I want to thank Steve and Jared for an amazing job. Marco's over there watching. Everybody's fantastic, and J.D., what a job they're all doing. It's a team. I think it's the best team ever assembled. And you see that by the results. So today is a tremendous honor to welcome you all to the United States Institute of Peace for the inaugural meeting of the Board of Peace. Very important. I believe it's the most consequential board, certainly in terms of power and in terms of prestige. There's never been anything close, because these are the greatest world leaders. Almost everybody's accepted, and the ones that haven't will be. And some are playing a little cute. It doesn't work. You can't play cute with me. But they're playing a little bit, but they're all joining, everybody, with most of them very immediately. A few that we really don't want because they're trouble. Take care of them. But this is the most prestigious board ever put together. You know, I've seen some great corporate boards. I've seen some great boards, period. It's peanuts compared to this board, because we have virtually everyone is the head of a country other than Johnny, but he's the head of soccer, so that's not so bad, right, Johnny? I like your job the best, I think. And by the way, your World Cup has set every single ticket record in the history of soccer. In the history, nobody's ever seen anything like it. The sales are virtually complete. Nobody's ever seen anything, so congratulations. You made a good decision. We did it together. Thank you, Johnny. Great guy. So I want to thank the many leaders and dignitaries who have traveled great distances and lengths for the important.
Yeah, just in short, that what was happening, especially in the United States of America, see that the world is realigning, and the head of FIFA is also there. And what about those countries who are playing cute and who are also planning to get in? And what is the future of multilateralism? Is Africa on its own, or is Africa we are on our way to join with this and another United Nations? Because if all what has been stated, because the initial aim is to solve conflict in Gaza, then you're also asking yourself, if you go deep, who was bombing Gaza? Who is the ally of Gaza? How are you going to solve the, how are you going to reconstruct? It's like I'm saying, no, I'm assisting you to give you a few bombs, and I can come and construct after war. Why Palestine is not applying, but you have other countries? But it's very interesting to see, because is this the future of the world too? Is it the future of the world? It's a question to ask, because you see, if you see that the majorities are joining, maybe it's the right way. It's painful, provoking, but we need to understand it to say, maybe there is an advantage. Can we put an option on it? Just a question to look. Yeah, just before we look at the conversation for today, because we are going to ask just one question, especially regarding where are we moving in terms of our development, and also to see where the country is going and what role do we need to play. What can we learn from other countries, especially regarding their developmental priorities? We are looking at Niger, especially in line with what has been presented, and its economic growth is predicted to be over 6%, which is huge. And also asking a question to say, what is a differentiating factor between Niger and many other countries, and how come a country which even with political instability, and also a country with climate shocks, continue to stand and also build its economy regardless of what is happening, especially looking at an assessment of IMF on different occasions. But looking into Namibia, today I've attended, I went to meet, there was a 37th MITCO annual general meeting, where a lot of interesting things have happened. And one of the things is to indicate that, regardless of what have happened, MITCO is showing that it has stabilized, it has grown. And some of the records, particularly presented by the deputy chairperson of the board of MITCO, are quite positive results. And the question is that what can we do long term? What is the sustainability? And it stated that the group revenue increased by 55%, reaching 1.87 billion. And it has recorded the profit before tax at 105 million and also 43 million after tax. And looking at those numbers, so to say that 83,112 animals were slaughtered across the system, and 1.13 billion, nearly 67% of sales was paid directly to the producers. And also to see, when you look at presentation, it's also to see, it's not only producers, it's not only farmers in the southern part of Namibia, but we also have northern part of Namibia farmers who are, you know, who are also benefiting. And in this context, it's also one interesting thing, especially when it coming to foot and mouth disease, and I think everybody also should pay attention, particularly when it comes to cautions and also presentation which was done by the chief veterinary officer in the Ministry of Agriculture, Water, Fisheries and the Red Reform, that is Dr. Kennedy Shombe. One of the things that he indicated is that Namibia, we are still standing a good chance because we are still foot and mouth disease free, and we are still having an advantage, particularly where we have access to the global market, especially EU and the Americans, especially when it comes to the sale of beef. And we are known to have one of the best quality beef in the world. And looking into that context, is it one of the developments also that when it comes to Botswana, Botswana is completely shut itself down, and there's no products which are coming, or there's no animal products or animals that are moving or that are coming or permitted actually to come from Botswana due to its recent foot and mouth disease outbreak. And also measures that indicated the aspect of South Africa. So I need to say in South Africa, it's only some zones that animal product can come to Namibia, but those traceable products that can be traced in the can be traced where they come from, their origins. But this is also the question of asking ourselves also to say, having no case of foot and mouth disease, what is also saying about the coordination between our institutions and also the coordination between farmers and also relevant authority? And the other thing is also that situations such as pandemic, situations such as foot and mouth disease can test your infrastructure, can test your border infrastructures. Do we have borders that can defend ourselves from foot and mouth disease now? Can this also be a time now maybe to assess and also ask a question to say, what were we doing? What were we doing to strengthen our border control before, you know, foot and mouth disease? And also, what is this going to tell us, particularly when the situation comes down? Because up to now, we are sitting. And if there is one case identified in Namibia, then it will disrupt the whole market, especially when it comes to, you know, trade. And also stated that looking onto that context, farmers must really be cautious and never do what is not in line with procedures, because we cannot afford, and it's also linked to the conversation for today, to say we cannot afford to suffer again, because where we are now, we are not doing well, and we need to do more. Where we are now, we need to do more, especially when it comes to upgrading the economy, because what was stated is that it's over 100 million which over 100 million which was lost in fighting you know, foot and mouth disease, particularly 2015 out there. But in the situation that we are now, we cannot afford. That's why I'm praying, and I'm also wishing to say those who are holding the line should not allow that foot and mouth disease to come to Namibia, because we have a lot of holes economically, and I think in this context. It's really necessary to pay attention. And now, the conversation for today will also look into where we are going in the next 6 months and where we are going, the whole year, especially regarding on our economic development. And when you speak about economic development, why are we speaking about these so sophisticated terms? Why are we hiding into these so sophisticated terms? And as a young person, as an adult, as a policymaker, as an administrator somewhere, maybe it's also a time of asking yourself a question to say, what is that we said we were going to do and we need not do them? And also, what are the new things that we need to do? Maybe starting March, moving forward, because the budget is going to be presented and we see where the money is going to be invested into. And also, maybe also a question of asking to say, having a small population, having a lot of resources, having a competitive advantage over many other countries, what is that we are doing so that we are not able to grow our economy? If Niger is growing at 6%, what are some of the things that have been done? And can we also do them? Because two key things that Niger have done well, according to IMF, is proper public financial management. Are we managing our finance correctly? Are we managing our finance correctly? And the other thing also is strong reforms when it comes to anti-corruption. Strong reforms when it comes to anti-corruption. And what is the state of our anti-corruption? Because if you read the book of Politics of the Berry, you'll be able also to understand that, what have happened when institution is not functioning properly due to the system of clientelism, and also due to the system of few that are controlling the system, and also loopholes that are left openly so that the country's resources can be milked. What is that we are doing? Are we expecting? Maybe somebody also should also ask a question to say, if we have to learn from Niger, better public finance management and anti-corruption reforms, do we expect in the next budget anti-corruption commission, which is not only the only institution which is fighting corruption, do we expect it to be strengthened in terms of financial allocation? Because our head of state declared corruption as treason. But for you to fight treason, you need better equipment. But in that case, you need financial power. Do you expect the budget of Anti-Corruption Commission to go beyond 116 million, the least funded agency? And you're also asking yourself why it's only picking up small fishes. And that no one denied to say, no, this is not, it's not the toothless bulldog, because if we come for you, we just come and pick you up. But is that what we expect moving forward? Do we expect also proper allocation of finance to the private sector? What is that we expect new in 2026? And also, apart from looking at the authority, what is that we are doing differently as citizens? Because we also need to change the way we think and the way we operate, and also where we prioritize to. Maybe starting at the institution at the bottom, because there is a saying to say the family is the foundation of every society. To say what are we doing to change that? Do we have proactive measures also to put things together from the bottom, so that we can learn from other countries which kept their principles? We know Niger has numbers in terms of people, but it has also principles. What can we do as a country to look into that? So it's 29 minutes per the hour of 6. We are going to look at short commercial break, looking at you, Safe, particularly almost end of the month, the end of the month to feel. And listen to shop to USAFE and move forward.
USAFE's customers love combos, right? For just 299 Namibian dollars, you can get 5 kilograms each of the following essential staple food. Nice Rice Powerball Rice, Champion Super Maize Meal, Marathon Brown Sugar, and Marathon White Sugar, plus Bokoma Fetku Flour. That's 299 Namibian dollars for 5 kilogram essential products. Yes, we all save at USAFE.
And there is an ongoing thing to say, especially when it comes to degeneration of the society from the bottom. There is a case of a child who was beaten by a teacher, who called the teacher that the teacher has rungus. And you're asking yourself to say, after the child was beaten, then the parent has to take the, have to make a case against that teacher. But looking at that case, if you have to be very clear, especially about if you have to be very clear, especially about what the society intend to. Let's get this short commercial break and come back.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa nuneudo otukwetira o special ange dashake ngeshefa omarudi Dayo loka, opone ushendi fenawa, nokumona oijamo ili nawa, ninge pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora esatu imwe, bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali, ile konderewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are moving forward with business and economic segment. It's 33 minutes past the hour 6. We are looking at what lesson do we need to learn from Niger, particularly one of the countries which is moving, regardless of their challenges, to say the burdens that on our economy solvable before 2030. And if they are not solvable before 2030, what can we do? Maybe you can shift our goalpost to 2035, because there is nothing wrong with long-term planning. And let us not put too much pressure on our leaders, because we also are doing something that is not right. What is an educator doing to make sure that the country is prepared to 2030? And what is a parent doing to make sure that the country is prepared to 2030? And one of the arguments which was presented there is to say, no, I think the parent failed to do the job and now want the teacher to do the job for him or her. Now we are taking to the police. It's a different view. But whatever the circumstances happen, we are here to see how things are going to come out. But one of the things that we must be very clear about is that our society have degenerated at some point. And we must go back also to instill strong values in terms of directing where the children are going, and also directing where the young people also are going. There must be that link of mentorship And it should also happen until the highest level, because what is going to defeat us, what is also differentiating us from Niger and many other countries, is a generational gap. And if you listen to speeches, if you listen to the communication, there is always a generation, there is always this thing of a generational gap which is coming out, young, old, adults, the seniors, AMA 2000, and all these things. And this is very dangerous, because we are not on the same page. We may operate in the same environment, but we are not on the same page. But where is the link? Where is societal cohesion when we want to get somewhere? And it's impacting everything. It's impacting politics. It's impacting business. It's impacting social affairs. It's impacting faith-based institutions. That is why today we are saying, looking at us in 2026, where we only have 3 years before Vision 2030, can you really say now that let's hope last year was a year of repositioning ourselves? Can you really say that we are fit to go to 2030? And if we are not fit, what can we do? Because we are not asking questions to blame anybody. So it's just a matter of asking to say, can you really say we are fit? First is political leadership. Second is economic leadership. And look at also at an individual too, to say, are we ready to move toward that national developmental goal? And it's something that we should have built on beforehand, and we should have looked at beforehand to say, where is the country going? Are we still continue opening up a lot of new projects while we did not finish others? So, dear listeners, you can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401. We know it's a Friday, but the economic conversation should continue. Because there is nothing which make me angry, and I think it's not even a personal thing. It's something that there is no one who can be happy seeing people with potential, unutilized people with potential. And the question is that what needs to be done apart from subsidized education? Because remember, when you look at, for example, at our very good initiative, subsidized education, the question mark will always come to say, now that we have subsidized, where are we going to place these people? Where are we going to place these people? And also a question of those of us who are also studying in a subsidized education to say, when we get this free opportunity, what are we going to do? And that can only be provided when we have data. And data is one of the things that we are still trying to find, particularly latest data, because in the world of fast movement of technology and a lot of things can happen within a day, we should not only rely on national data, particularly with NSA. Because by the time people come out of the field, the dynamics are changing. And one must also be very clear to see, and I'm somebody who has a strong view, especially when it comes to societal degeneration. When, for example, we see records, I don't want to go to statistics on how many, when you look at the records of relationship breaking down, if we have to look clearly, particularly to young professionals, I'm not an expert in marriage advice and all these things, but there is always an economic part involved. And the economy is always at the center of that. And with much respect, there's always a question that I think we should also continue asking, especially if you are a researcher, either you're a junior researcher or just somebody curious, to say, this have happened. It's a GBV case. Somebody was beaten, or unfortunately a person lost life. Then we look at all the sector. Then we look at the sector of the economy to say, what was the state of this person's economy? Not to be emotionless, but just to look at the rationality part of things to say, what was the state of this person's economy? What did this person, how did, was this person, for example, how was this person engaging in the society? And is it the situation of the country has a contribution, although not a total contribution to the whole case, where it's not justifiable to kill anybody, no matter how poor, how rich a person is. And if we look at that, we can come to our conclusion to say, if you want to sort out these challenges of, love based on strategic economic alliance, which can fade when somebody lost his job or when somebody lost a business deal. If you want to change this thing, you just need to do one thing, is to fix the economy. If you want to, there was somebody who was making a joke to say January was a month for the fight between, it's not me who said it, between baby daddies and baby mamas. But it was just something which was presented out there. But if, you know that if you fix the economy, rich people, they break up, they take a calculator and say, no, get this one, I get this one, you go home, can I, do you also want this second-hand car? How can we talk in terms of co-parenting? But poor people, the fight will start from who owned the microwave, who, own the curtains and all these things. Then you also realize to say sometimes, really, people can go out of human situation just because of economy, because of finance. And we understand it's a Friday, and when we are at this aspect, there is also things that we have promised each other, especially looking at, for example, at where the country is going. Because I'm always somebody who, when you are telling me something, there's a saying to say, words, they can be very beautiful and sweet, but we must move away from words and start trusting actions. Start trusting actions to say we have a game plan of, there's something that is called Transformation Sector Strategic Plan by Bank of Namibia. Very beautiful document which has a lot of objectives. But my interest and focus is financial inclusion. Then, looking at 2035, which is very near, is to say by that time, 70%, over 70%, and those are the targets of informal businesses who have access to formal financial services. Now the question is that, if we are tracing, for example, the NDP-6, and we also need to trace other strategies to say, okay, looking at our current situation, what pace are we moving into as this of strategy is placed on the table? At what pace? If you want to give over 70% of, informal businesses access to formal financial services by 2035, and 90% of Namibia will be financially included by various ways, at what pace are you moving? And that is the only thing that's going to save us, because if we are not evaluating ourselves, we will not reach that target. If we have a target of 70% household electrification by 2030, at what pace, how many households have you electrified so far? Because you can easily predict the time you are going to reach Oshivarongo if you are driving from Venduk, looking at the speed, how much are you driving per hour? then you can subtract also the distraction that we can find on the way. But the question of saying we want to go to Oganja, but we are still discussing the important thing about that journey, how we are going to celebrate about reaching Oganja in the next 1 hour, it's going to be practically impossible. It's really going to be practically impossible. And I hope, and there's something which I was very happy about, especially the uniqueness of the mid-year budget review of last year. Of it was so creative and giving out some of the information which are necessary, particularly regarding progress of some projects. Let us hope in this coming budget that we are also going to get that posture too. And maybe governance too, especially with our SOEs, to say if Midco is performing it this way, what can be done to encourage that performance? Because Midco is our savior also. Particularly looking at international trade, what can be done to maintain that? Since that now you have, after everything that have happened, then we are moving forward, we have an acting CEO. And to ensure stabilization, when is the full-time CEO going to be starting? And who is that going to be? And what are we going to do also to stabilize such institutions that were able to assist us? And today I was also happy to see, you know, the producers, you know, farmers are very interesting people. They mean business. And, it's not a general meeting that you go with the suit. These are the guys who have the money and who have, the cows, the cattle. And they were very open. It's only that, you could not really go deep based on the nature of the meeting. But one thing which is very clear is that, stabilization of Midco and profitability of Midco will mean a lot to producers, to farmers in the southern part of Namibia and in the northern part of Namibia too. Then maybe later on we'll also discuss the issue of a red line, because now we understand that the argument which has been presented, or some of the arguments which were presented, is the vulnerability. But now, also need to ask yourself a question to say, now, if now, foot and mouth disease is in the southern part of Namibia and is in Botswana, which region of Namibia is a main threat? Which region of Namibia is a main threat? If you have to look at history, then you realize that you don't have two Namibia, only have one Namibia. And maybe you should also teach us a lesson moving forward to say, if we have to keep everything on standard, everything must be on standard. And it's testing us, especially looking at various arguments also of red line and also the market. Because the thing now is, if there is a case of foot and mouth disease at the northern part of Namibia, one case, to disrupt the whole trade of cattle, then why do we need to be divided? And the other thing is also that the border which we, the things that we're supposed to intensify and maybe moving forward, is the border control too. Border control too, because we, apart from us being unique, we have managed to maintain that status, which is very important for business, because anything can, any behavior of not following those procedures and mechanisms in place, then we are disrupted, we are distracted. Then it would take us long, very long time to, not only to recover, just to survive. Because as we have been discussing the whole of this week to say, we're in an economic defense mode, where uranium is our defender, is our midfielder, it's our wing, and possibly the guy who we expect to score goals. But it needs other players too to be capacitated, because the Diamond, who was a striker for a very long time in terms of Namibian economic progress is injured, and it seems like that injury would take him to retirement if we don't revive that diamond sector, which come to the point of that we need a lot of things to focus on. Because one of the things that are stated is that for you to fix the injury of the diamond sector is to reduce tax, maximum tax that is given to that sector. And those were the experts' opinion to say reducing of that to also take off the burden. And what other things that we need to do, especially to learn from Niger, is just to be pragmatic. Just to be pragmatic. Because if we are going to march after next week, we are in March. If we are going to march and we are still speaking about we need to, we have to, we must, and we shall, without indicating that David is going to do what Helmut is going to do, what Dwight is going to do, what, then we'll never ever reach our goals, because the goalpost is standing. We are on this side discussing the importance of scoring the goal, but we are not even practicing. We are not in the match yet. But yeah, it's very interesting. It's very interesting to see. It's also very interesting to look into the future with a positive mindset, because if cabinet was able also to find a proven acting CEO for Mitco, and also try to revive the center of Namibia beef industry, I think what is necessary is also maybe in line with what the Minister of Agriculture, what Fisheries and Red Reform has stated, to say the sustainability is what matters. Sustainability is what matters, because when you have sustainable progress at SOEs, then we are going to make it. South Africa made it. And when you look at the debate in South Africa, you realize to say South Africa may be the highest in terms of income inequality, but South Africa have a lot of advantages and progress too. Then where are we as Namibia? They are fighting for their unemployment to come below 30. Our discussion is not only on the numbers, it's where are we, what are we doing? It's not even about the numbers. And it's like when you are coming from high school, when you used to get 70%, you get 80, you are celebrating. Then the first time you come to university, you find this guy is a second year celebrating, got 50%. You say, what? That's why South Africa fighting to go beyond below 30% in terms of their unemployment. To us, that would be an achievement. Because moving 1% of unemployment is a very big number compared to looking at that structure. And also, maybe what you have done. Good evening.
David.
Yebo.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Or evening.
Whatever the case may be. Good night.
When they talk about sustainability, remember, those were three key declarations during the G20. G20 in sports, G20 in everything.
So you were reading the declaration.
I was following you, since the time you told us to be listening at the Madlanga and Hadia Committee.
But look, man, you must also go back and watch the mining in Damba. There are very important points there.
The mining in Dambai was done 2 weeks ago. So maybe doing some reviews and things like that. And I believe we were also represented. If you were not represented, please, can you find out?
No, we were represented. You did not listen to Meme Belta this morning. She was also there.
The one who was talking to with you.
Yeah.
I listened. Uh-huh. The one who was talking about diamond, uranium.
Yeah.
And you asked her a question about why is it taking so long to have a uranium plant?
Mm.
And it's even estimated that it could be taking 10 years somewhere there.
Yeah, 10 to 15.
Yeah, when she put it in our own context.
Mm.
I listen. I don't think there's any program that I miss here, except yours, which do not say it. This program is recorded, pre-recorded. Yes, don't do it like that.
Okay.
I only discovered that. I think I've listened to this lecture before.
Oh.
And then that's
it's a good thing. Why do you think a country like Niger can have a very strong economic growth regardless of them coming from coup and having climate shocks? How come we are not even half of
this one?
You remember the Sahel region, those countries which have military junta, the one that the Burkina Faso, the Niger and Mali.
Yes.
And the IMF is praising Niger on its economic progress to say, and people are shocked to say, how come there's not even security and, but these guys were managing to maintain their economy. Maybe, what is your view on that?
You see, that's the problem. You know, it was mentioned not only to me about the rating agency.
No. It's not about the rating agency.
That's right.
Okay.
Answer a question.
Yeah.
When they compare Namibia with them, maybe they have got some interest there.
Okay.
When they compare Namibia to those ones, it's not a problem. It's not an issue.
Mm.
Them themselves, I don't know how long will they get their independence.
No. It's not. Okay.
I'm just telling you the preamble, please. Before you go, I won't take.
No, because we have agreed to say, let us not talk about colonialism. Even me at my.
Why can't you talk about colonialism?
No. As a reason to we're now going to take accountability now.
No, I'm not talking about as a reason for that.
No, it's a reason. It's a reason.
What have you said? Genuine reason. What's wrong with that? Because our laws, our legal instruments, and everything, even that's colonialism. And we are talking about apartheid now.
No, it's not a matter of, not acknowledging what has happened. It's also a matter of saying, it's a matter of saying, what have I done within my power?
No
that
problem.
I got yeah.
there. So the Burkina Faso and all those countries that are rated against Namibia, saying that Namibia is not making a move, a progressive move.
Yeah.
They are lying.
Okay, they're also lying about Zimbabwe.
Yes, they are lying. Zimbabwe just came into sanctions and all these disturbances.
Yeah.
And you know very well that what could have happened in South Africa and what has happened in South Africa is the same process.
But Zimbabwe is also ahead of us.
Yes, Zimbabwe. You know, Zimbabwe got independence. You know, Zimbabwe, we need to eat lead maize from Zimbabwe.
Well, when you're in the trenches...
Of course.
I see. Okay, just 2 words, then we can conclude.
Nobody's going to come.
We ran out of time. There is no time. We ran out of time. Yeah.
What I'm saying is that Namibia is also compared to Nigeria.
Yeah.
Boko Haram are killing people.
Mm.
I know we have got our own weaknesses here.
But we can still improve, ne? Moving forward. We can still do better. Yeah.
You can see yourself. Yeah. Even the Dwight and Helmut, they were talking about Gregor Lund. Kaputua, Tomas Dad, there were no tarot here.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you people are joking.
Yes, dear listeners, have a good Friday. Enjoy yourself, take care of yourself, and see you Monday.